morning, each one of you. Bring Christian greetings to all of you in the name of Jesus. I consider this a real blessing and a privilege to be present this morning, and especially since one of my sons is among the four that are being baptized. I have a tendency of becoming just a little bit nervous in a situation like this, but I was asking myself, what is the reason for that? Am I concerned what you think of me, or am I concerned to deliver a message sent from God? I hope it's the latter, and you pray for me. Paul said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. This is my testimony also this morning. It's a real blessing to see our son take this step. We have waited for it a long time, and the Lord has been good. I'm sure that's the testimony of each one of you parents also. And just looking forward to seeing the Lord do more miracles in other people's lives, just as he has in our own and in our children's. This morning, you may open your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. Oftentimes in our Christian lives, I don't know if you experience this, and I would like to share this with the applicants for the baptism, that if in life we find a lack of power in our lives, there is a way that we can achieve it. We can receive it. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus said this to the disciples. He was about to be lifted or go back to the Father. He had been present. Disciples had been with him for at least 3 years, seeing Jesus doing miracles and seeing him. But Israel looked up to him, and now they were going to be without him as far as his physical presence. But Jesus said this, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. I would like to focus this morning on this part where it says, Jesus says, ye shall receive power. If ever we feel weak in our Christian lives, we are weak on our own. And we do need help to live the Christian life. We can never do it on our own. We cannot produce this power. We cannot invent a way to do it, to live the Christian life the way the Lord wants us to. We have to receive the power from above. How do we do this? How do we accomplish it? Let's look at what Peter says in chapter 2. Verse 38, referring to the same thing, the filling of the Spirit. Peter said this, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Let's focus on this, and ye shall receive. Jesus said, also ye shall receive power. When we receive the Spirit, we receive the power to live a Christian life. And that's what I would like to talk about this morning. So let's just make it 4 points here. Peter said first, repent. If we want power in our lives, anybody, at any time, repent. And then it says, be baptized. You want power in your lives? Repent and be baptized. Now, many of us have been baptized already, and may we still sometimes feel a lack of power in our lives. Let's step back and repent. I would like to leave this challenge with you all. Why don't I have power in my life? Is there a lack of repentance in some area? Is there a lack of acknowledging wrong in my life? Repent and be baptized. Now let's think of baptism as a step of obedience. And we can all do that again. Repent and be baptized, or repent and obey. And ye shall receive power to live the Christian life. The next thing, or I'm changing it a little around here, remission of sin. If sin is removed from our lives, if we're cleansed and forgiven, this is what is necessary to receive the gift of the Spirit. Cleansing. Repent, be baptized, experience the cleansing in your life, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, of the Spirit. And ye shall be witnesses, Jesus said. I just see the picture of a life that produces for Jesus. But these steps are necessary. Let's look at some other verses and start with the first point here, repentance. What is repentance? It's an acknowledgement of wrongdoing. We could look at Peter's experience in Luke chapter 22. Verse 61 and 62. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered. Verse 62. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. What is repentance? All of a sudden, Jesus looked at Peter, and Peter remembered, acknowledged. You know, before we can repent, the true repentance comes from Jesus looking at us. When Jesus looks at us, are we willing to look at him? And then maybe look down. And remember, acknowledge. The first step of repentance is Jesus looking at us and us acknowledging. Accepting the fact that I did wrong. So often we want to justify ourselves and say, well, you know how it goes. But are we willing to have Jesus look at us and acknowledge? And then Peter... wept. I don't know if we have to weep every time we repent. Sometimes we think if I can't produce tears, it's not true repentance. I'm not saying this. But an acknowledging of wrongdoing. Not be defensive. And this is all about receiving power in our lives to live the Christian life. I'm not talking about first repentance necessarily. It's a way of life that we're willing to look at Jesus or have him look at us and are willing to accept the fact that I failed. I did wrong. It was like the Spirit speaking to Peter. Now Judas felt this remorse, it says. He had betrayed Jesus, but something was different. There was a certain amount of acknowledgement there, but he was not willing to make it right. I'd like to see an example of David in Psalms. David made some big mistakes in his life also, but David was a man after the heart of the Lord because he was willing to acknowledge his wrongdoings. When this prophet came to him, and all of a sudden he saw and acknowledged and repented. Psalms 38, verse 17, 18. It states it this way. It's kind of interesting to see it. For I am ready to halt. Sometimes we're just always in the call. We're not willing to acknowledge, to halt, just to stop in life. Make a pause and, is this right what I'm doing? Am I allowing something in my life that keeps the power from flowing through my life? I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare mine iniquity, and I will be sorry for my sins. And acknowledging and accepting of wrongdoing, and I will be sorry for my sins. 21, in the same chapter. Forsake me not, O Lord, O my God. Be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. When we come to this place and acknowledge we have done wrong, we need to realize that every wrongdoing has consequences. Somebody has to pay for it. A sentence is pronounced on wrongdoings. And so David says, forsake me not. You know, this is one of the first prayers we should pray. Lord, forsake me not. I have done wrong. I will repent. And we need to realize that there is only forgiveness and salvation in Jesus. In Job, we have a beautiful picture of repentance. Also, we know Job was a righteous man, and yet, in chapter 42, he had just said a little bit too much self-confidence. He did not understand. And all of a sudden he comes to a place where he acknowledges that he did wrong. And what a blessing to see the picture of people that live like this. Job 42. And then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I utterly, and sorry. Therefore have I uttered, I guess my. Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, and things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak, I will demand of thee, and declare thou, unto me, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Verse 6. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. When we do wrong, we usually don't like ourselves for having done wrong. That's all right. I think it's part of repentance. That we come to a place where I don't like myself. Too often we like ourselves too much and aren't willing to acknowledge that we are sinful and in need of His forgiveness. The prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. We're just seeing some examples of repentance. Luke chapter 15, 21. We are interested in understanding what repentance is because we want the results. We want the power in our lives to live a life that pleases the Lord. Chapter 15, verse 21. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. This is repentance. The publican in Luke chapter 18, verse 13. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. The thief on the cross, chapter 24, verse 40. Looks to me like I have this reference wrong. Can somebody help me? Okay. Yes, yes, that's what it is. 23:40. But the other answered, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. We receive justly was an attitude of repentance. And then looking at Jesus, Jesus, remember me. Have mercy. The next point is remission of sin. And this is where I'm saying I'm changing it around a little bit. Repent and be baptized. We'll touch the part of baptism next. For the remission of sin, second point. And I like to think of remission of sin as sin removed. The sentence that was upon us is canceled, or the debt that we owe is paid. In Isaiah 53, verse 6. It states it like this. Verse 5. For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we were healed. And we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Jesus took them upon himself. He was wounded for our transgressions. And now we can be forgiven. Like it says in 1 John 1:9. This verse was already used. If we confess our sins, he will cleanse us and remove the sin from our lives. In Isaiah 44, verse 22, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. This is so precious that our sins can be blotted out if we acknowledge them and repent. And I have full confidence that this is the experience of each one of you, that the past has been blotted out. A sentence that was against us is just erased from the page through the blood of Jesus. This is so precious. A death sentence removed. And I like to go back to John 3:16. This verse that we know so well. For God so loved the world that he sent his Son, his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he that believeth on him is not condemned. Let's read till there. And that sentence removed. The remission of sin. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Walking after the Spirit, not walking in the flesh, takes the power that we receive when we repent and when our sin is removed. Ye shall receive the gift of the Spirit, which is power to walk in the Spirit. We cannot do it by ourselves. We just can't. And when we experience this freedom of condemnation, when our sin is forgiven, there has been a repentance and a new heart, then baptism is in place. Except a man or a woman be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Repentance and the removal of sin, and we shall see the kingdom of God here on earth. It takes the power of the Spirit to see it and to live it. If we are born again, the next step is a step of obedience. Repent and be baptized. Let's look at John chapter 10. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Obedience is the result of true repentance and acknowledging of our sin and believing in Jesus. Like a sheep follows a shepherd. Repent and be baptized is just part of following Jesus. My sheep hear my voice and they follow. Why do we have to be baptized? It's a symbol of what we have experienced. A cleansing and a washing away of our sins. When our sins were blotted out, if you will be baptized today, is this a true symbol of what you have experienced? Repentance and the removal of sin. A cleansing. And a symbol of having received the Spirit. You shall receive the gift of the Spirit. You shall receive power. Have you experienced power? You know, repentance will still be the secret of power in your lives in the future. Let's remember that. Repentance and cleansing will always go together with the power to live a Christian life. It's on the altar that we receive power. And we see this in the Bible. Talking about baptism, let's turn to Acts chapter 10, verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Verse 47. When Peter saw that they had received the gift of the Spirit, he said, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. It is a command to be baptized. But first, we need to experience repentance and cleansing. And baptism is a symbol of that. The washing away of our sins. And having received the gift of the Spirit. Now, I do have a number more references here. I don't know if we'll have time to look at all of them. In Mark chapter 16, verse 16, it says, "Believe and be baptized." And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We are interested in salvation. So we need to repent and believe in Jesus and be baptized, and we shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be condemned. Let's return to Acts and look at Peter's experience. We've already read this verse where it says he wept, he acknowledged his sin. I don't know if his new birth experience was there, but it was a step towards it for sure. But we see Peter in Acts experiencing this power when he received the Spirit. I just love this picture of Peter. Denying Jesus, he just couldn't stand up. He was afraid. He didn't have the strength to say, "Yes, I know Jesus. I'm his disciple." But when he received the gift of the Spirit. When he received the power that Jesus said, we will receive. We see Peter, a changed man. Let's look at this a little bit. But Peter standing up in chapter 2, verse 14. With the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken. Verse 22, And ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you, by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, and ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Experiencing the power of this gift. Verse 29, Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you. Verse 38, Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He was giving testimony of what he was experiencing. And we can experience the same. Receive power when we receive the gift of the Spirit. These are Jesus' words. Ye shall receive power. We could go on. There's some more impressing verses that speak about how Peter spoke out when he had received this gift of the Spirit. Stephen is also a beautiful example of this power. When the stones were being hurled at him, and that hurts, he was able to say, Father, forgive them. We see a power in his life, and he says he was a man filled with the Spirit. How filled with the Spirit are we? Are we willing to acknowledge any sin or wrongdoings in our lives? Repent, and ye shall receive the gift of the Spirit. Do we need power in our lives? Let's be willing to acknowledge wrongdoings. Are we perfect? No. Are we ashamed to accept the fact that we're not perfect, that we have a place to grow and to correct things in our lives? I like what it says in Romans chapter 8. Verse 3. We already made reference to verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Then verse 3 says, For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse verse 9 says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Verse 13, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Now let's return to verse 3. It's all talking about not living in the flesh, having the strength to condemn this body, to put it down.
It says, but what the law could not do.
Now through the receiving of this gift, we receive power to live above our carnal nature, this sinful man. Ye shall receive power if we are willing to repent and have our sins removed. Peter and Jesus both said that you shall receive, and Peter, through a personal experience of power, was convinced that those that were listening would also experience it if they would only repent. But we must receive this power. We cannot produce it.
Jesus told Pilate these words. And maybe they're out of context, but I think there's a connection. John chapter 19, verse 11. And Jesus answered, when Pilate said, I have power to crucify you or to release you, Jesus said, thou couldst have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above. I like to remember this. Often we think we can do it. We have the strength to overcome this weakness or to live a righteous life. But if we don't receive it, we cannot produce it. If we don't receive it from above, we just won't get there. If we feel our life is a failure, and it just seems like I just can't do it. And we can't. We have to remember that we receive this power. It's the only way we'll be able to put this flesh down and live a victorious life. Peter and Stephen experienced power. And you know what? Jesus himself, in John chapter 16, verse 7, said, It is expedient for you that I go away. I don't understand the word expedient exactly, but from my Spanish Bible, I understand this. That it is to our benefit. Does that sound right? It is to our benefit that Jesus in person isn't present. You know, I was thinking this morning, I wish Jesus were here and he could convey this message to you. I know you wouldn't have asked me to preach if he was here in person. But Jesus actually says, it's to your benefit if I'm not present. Why? He's referring to sending his Spirit into each one of your lives, and ye shall receive power. You know, Peter couldn't do what he did when Jesus was present in person. He denied Jesus, but after he was gone and he received the gift, he stood up in the presence of those that crucified Jesus and said, repent. And there was many
that were touched by this message that he preached. And there were thousands that repented. You know, I love to have Jesus present, but it is to our benefit that he's not. That sounds strange, but Jesus said it himself. Because he wants us to experience the power of the Spirit in us. He couldn't be in Peter's life. He was in Peter's presence. He taught him many things. And it would be beautiful to have Jesus here present today to speak. It would be such a blessing. But we have something very special. We can have the gift of the Spirit dwelling in us.
Ephesians chapter 1 talks of this power dwelling in us. Verse 19. Are we experiencing this? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now it talks of Jesus and his power. But it talks in the connection of a power in us. The same power that raised him from the dead, we can experience. Chapter 3 in Ephesians, verse 16. And that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that ye ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. To grant us the riches of his glory and to be strengthened in the inner man. To experience this power that is beyond words. We've seen Christians persecuted in the past and the present. We think of Tim Miller in prison in Nicaragua. And they tell me that they only allow them in short pants. But let's think of this. We have a preacher in prison preaching with short pants. But God's power is not limited. I don't know how many of you have read his testimony or what his wife writes, that they just don't want to miss out on this experience of people finding Christ in prison. It's the power that Satan cannot destroy. He cannot quench it. When we receive the gift of the Spirit, there's no limits. Because Jesus is not limited. To be strengthened in the inner man. Romans chapter 8 again. Verse 3, the first part, for what the law could not do. Verse 4, the last part. Us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'd like to close with this thought. Shall we kneel for a prayer?